If we could get a revelation, we should pray for this, of all and who and what Jesus is. Oh my goodness. He has supplied absolutely everything that we need. And everything that he became a substitute for us for, all right? Because he was our substitute, right? So if Jesus, in fact, it says in 2 Corinthians 5:21, he who knew no sin became sin for us that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And there was that exchange. So simply, really, if you look at that, it's talking about the fact that I wasn't righteous, but he was. So he made that exchange, and I became righteous, and he became my sin on the cross. But on that cross, if I have lack, he took my lack. If I was poor, he took my poverty. So that I could, and if I, and in that exchange of righteousness, he gave me everything, then he gave me his wealth. If I was sick, and we were, he gave us healing. So if we could just realize that any area in our life that we're lacking or that we're insufficient, Jesus was the exchange for that. And so it belongs to us. So it's kind of like getting into that place of peace and not being, because if it's something that comes up in my life, the answer is Jesus. So if I'll make that exchange, it's you literally making an exchange because he made the exchange. So if it tries, if the enemy tries to get you to pick up lack, just make that exchange. If he tries to get you to pick up sickness, make that exchange. Sin, condemnation, make an exchange. Because he lacked nothing that he gave to us. There was no lack in him. He was the all-sufficient one who came and paid so that we could have sufficiency in every area of our life. When we get that, I don't care what the enemy has endeavored to put into your life, and whether it's structures that have been in your life for years and years and years and years, Jesus undid it at the cross. So he dismantled it. He dissolved it. It says, for this purpose, the Son of God was made manifest, that he might undo, dissolve, and destroy, loose every work of darkness. For what? That was against you. So every kingdom, every structure, every counsel, every plan of hell against me was undone through Jesus, the all-sufficient one. So if we could just allow him to really come into our lives, and I'm specifically just really talking about no matter what type of damage there's been done in your life, Jesus undid it. And let that exchange straighten things out for you. Let that, where he substituted his life. His life is perfection. So therefore, what's not perfect in my life is made perfect in Christ Jesus. And it belongs to us. It belongs to us. It's mine. It's ours. It's yours. All right? It's just, sometimes I think of that and that is just so amazing. We have, you know, I used to, and I still do pray, Lord, concerning authority, I say, Lord, help me get this. Because we do not even comprehend the depth and the degree of authority we have been given in Christ Jesus. You know what? We don't have to be afraid of anything. You know, if some coven or witch or whatever tries to send a curse against you, you don't have to be afraid of it. You just have to know who you are. You're the light. You're the light of the world. Is that not true? It is. That's right. So therefore, if it tries to come against you, really, it just has to go back on top of them because the curse causes cannot stand. And the curse has no cause because Jesus was our substitute. Okay, now that mean I may not make a mistake, but if I make a mistake, the curse caused us cannot come because Jesus already stepped in and took that for me. Anything that we need. Anyway, it's just good stuff. It's just good stuff. I'm going to pray something over you guys before we even start. Father, I just declare in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that the bands of restraint, the kingdoms that have been structured in the lives of every single person in this room today, God, I declare that these bands of restraint are broken, cut asunder, and cast off in the name of Jesus. Their cords and the control of the cords of wickedness and the kingdoms that those cords have established, I declare today, are undone in the name of Jesus. Now just receive that. Receive, literally, Lauren prayed something real similar to that, and literally as she was praying that, I could see structures being broken and cords and different types of things being set up on the inside of people, being literally undone. When was it undone? At the cross. At the cross. Father, I thank you that every area of darkness in our lives, God, is being made right now into light. The darkness is removed in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, Lord, that you have made every uneven place straight and level in the name of Jesus. Father, in the name of Jesus, I declare that every mountain of structure of demonic entry in every life of every person, even if we've opened the doors of it to ourselves, Father, I declare right now those mountains are being leveled in the name of Jesus. See mountains being leveled on the inside of you right now, because that's what he's doing. That's what he's doing. Mountains of darkness, mountains of strategies that the enemy has done against you are being leveled by the power, by the all-sufficient one, Jesus Christ. The crooked places, all the crooked places in your life are being made straight right now. Places of addiction, being made straight. Places of torment, anxiety, being made straight. Places of lack, insufficiency, poverty, being made straight in the name of Jesus. Places of sickness, infirmity, been leveled and made straight in the name of Jesus. Bars of iron being cut asunder, broken down. He is doing that right now so that he, the King of Glory, comes in into every one of those areas in the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the brass doors broken down, those entire structures, so that every lie and every deception of the enemy is refuted in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. Amen. It belongs to you. Hallelujah. 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 Okay, I'm gonna read a couple of things, and then I'm gonna read out of Isaiah 53 here in a moment. Different things that the Holy Spirit just gave me, but I'm going to be teaching on rejection, okay? And in rejection, I had planned on actually doing some things on iniquity, and I don't know what I did with my teaching on iniquity. I could not find it, so I have either it's there. I know it's there, but what I did with it, I know I had it out a few weeks ago. So, huh? Washed away by the blood. It is. But even in that, the rejection is an iniquity. And what it is it's where somewhere in our family lines, rejection has been able to raise its head because of a lack of love in the house. A lack of love somewhere in our lives. And, you know, like I said last week, you know, you can't turn around and blame your parents, because then they could turn around and blame their parents, and then their parents could turn around and blame their parents, and you could just go on and on, couldn't you? We're all dysfunctional until We choose to let Jesus bring order back into our lives. So the buck always stops right here, all right? So the blame goes to nobody. It's what I choose to do with my life, where it's at right now, okay? So some of you might have come in and you might have been absolutely devastated in life, but that's not an excuse for you. Because the all-sufficient one is here, and he has already, 2,000 years ago, undone, dissolved, brought to nothing every work of darkness that was designed against you. All right? So freedom and healing is the children's bread. It rightfully belongs to you. It rightfully belongs to you. You are the owner of well-being. Because Jesus purchased it on the cross for you. It belongs to you. You know what? I'd be writing some of this stuff down and making declarations of this. You know, how do we affirm our faith? Through our mouth. Okay? And when we affirm our faith, we cause it to come into existence. The all-sufficient one made you the owner of healing, wholeness, soundness, nothing missing, nothing broken. That belongs to us. You know, sometimes we need to just say, no more will I be robbed of what is rightfully belongs to me. Because it does. So if you're bound today, freedom rightfully belongs to you. These aren't idle words. If we could get these words and get what he's done, it's huge. We need to pray for revelation of that. Everything. Literally, even, you know, one time I was listening to Jack Hayford and he was talking about sexual sin and he was talking about how sexual sin in a person's life, it's kind of like the description they gave was like if you had a really, like a nice, this little fine golden chain, like a necklace. But you know how some chains are really tiny and they're fine, and if they get knotted, it almost is impossible to get those things undone. Okay, and so he was talking about how it's like that knotted chain. All right, but it doesn't have to just be in the area of sexual sin. It could be in any area of our lives where we've been violated in any area. And it's like we become like that beautiful gold chain that is all knotted up. But Jesus completely can undo that. You see? So what I want you to see is literally that chain, the knots being removed from that in your life. So no matter how knotted up you think your life is, no matter how serious of a broken person you feel you are, Jesus has already made you whole, and you're the owner of wholeness. You are the owner of wholeness. Amen. It belongs to you. Amen. I don't have to be a mess. Amen. We don't have to be a mess. We don't have to be poor. We can believe God to provide for a car, vehicle, and pay cash in our houses. Because it was paid for. We're rightful owners. You know? You know, it's kind of like in the state of Illinois, if you listen to the news, sometimes they say, well, they got these, you know, these all this money or whatever, and they're waiting for somebody to come in, the rightful owner to come in and claim it. Anybody ever do that? By the way, we did. It was only 100 and something, but it was still money we had. You know, I would have liked to have found a lot more, but no, we're not from here. We should check out North Dakota and New York and see if we can find that's where we're out of. But seriously, there are monies in the state of Illinois that belong to various people, and you just got to go in and claim ownership, and they will literally send you the money. They do. Because like I say, we did it. We heard about it. We looked it up. We did it. It was 100 and something. Maybe it was 7. I don't know. It was a little over 100. But you know what? You're the rightful owner of all that I've been talking about. And Jesus is just waiting for you to step up and claim it. Amen. Yep. That's it. Just like we stepped up in the natural and took our whatever, maybe it was $176, I think is what it was, in some sense. All citizens. Well, yes, anybody who lives in, you know, if you've lived in Illinois, because it's various things that could be some inheritances, could be safe deposit boxes and banks. It could be monies that electric companies owed you and you never got all of it back, or it isn't it. You should check. I forget exactly what you look up, but you could type it in. I'm sure money's owed from the state of Illinois, or no, they probably said they think it was taxes. I'll have to look it up and see again what it was called, because I kept the paper so I could tell people. But the thing of it is that if you were a rightful owner, that money waits there. It sits there month after month, year after year, waiting for the rightful owner to come lay hold of it. Jesus paid our complete debt. Amen. On the cross. Everything, anything that the enemy endeavored to dump on you was paid for on the cross, and now you are the rightful owner of healing and wholeness, all sufficiency, no lack. We're the rightful owners of that. And Jesus is still waiting for his people to step up and lay claim of it. And when you do step up and lay claim, you find out you get it. Just like when we stepped up and laid claim of that, we found out we got it. They don't hold it back from you. They didn't even argue with you over it. They don't even try to prove you're not the owner. All you got to do is show that you are the owner. How do you show you're the owner? You've been bought by the blood, purchased with a preciousness. Amen? So start laying hold of what rightfully belongs to you, and freedom is yours. Begin to declare undone everything the enemy has endeavored to do. You declare it. It becomes yours when you enforce that victory. He's waiting for his enemies to be made a footstool. Okay? So anyway, that was free. That wasn't a part of my lesson either. God has some words here for people today, but God wants us to step up. You are the rightful owner of all that Jesus purchased for you. Amen? Amen? Praise God. All right, in talking about rejection, let me give you a couple of things on that. When God created mankind, both male and female, in his image, and this is what you need to get, in the image of God, one of the things that makes man like God is the inherent desire, and this is that what we have within us. It's an inherent desire within us, and because we are like our Father, and that's to be recognized, to be valued, to be accepted, to be appreciated. Rejection undermines every bit of that. The spirit of rejection, okay, and rejection is a spirit. Now, again, in talking about what he took on the cross, Jesus was rejected, and we're gonna read that in a minute. But rejection endeavors to undermine the natural God-given characteristics that predispose each one of us with the desire, and we all have a desire to be loved, to be cherished, and to be appreciated. Sometimes we have to do just exactly what Brian told us at the beginning, reach out to each other. You know, when we, the more we feel acceptance from especially one another, the more that we are destroying what the enemy wants to do against each one of us. See, and who is going to enforce acceptance? We are. To one another. If we're enforcing authority and we're enforcing all these other things in that Jesus paid for, we also can enforce the love of God. We can enforce that acceptance by stepping out of our little comfort zones, you know, which is basically what you have to do. All right? Okay, so we have within us that inherent desire to be loved and cherished and appreciated, and yet the enemy desires to steal that and remove that from us. Rejection is one of the ways that the enemy undermines your self-worth, your self-esteem, your self-image, and your purpose and your potential. Now, if there's ever been any way that, and there's all sorts of different ways that you can be violated throughout life. You could be abused. You could be not loved by a parent. You could not receive affection maybe from a parent. You could be yelled at by a parent. You could have parents who abandon you. You could have whatever that is, whatever opened the door to that. But in that, what the endeavoring of the setup was, is the enemy wants to steal your value and your self-worth. Where, see, if you don't value yourself, how do you ever even step up into this place of ownership that Jesus, that we were just talking about, okay? Because, see, Jesus gave it all to us, but if I don't have any confidence in myself, if I have no value in who I am, then I'm not going to feel I'm worth what he paid for. But see, that's where you have to make a decision to come out of this garbage that we've been had put upon us and step up to, okay, Jesus, you know, faith is not a feeling. Is that not true?
That's right.
It's a choice. It's a decision to believe this book. That's all that it is. Even though everything around us says something different, faith is no more than your choice and your decision to choose to believe what God says. And it's not like, okay, if you have to seemingly battle the enemy for a while, that has nothing to do with your faith.
That's right.
That has nothing to do with your choice and your decision to believe the word. Because the enemy will probably fight you over your decision.
Yeah.
But it still belongs to you.
Right.
You see, it still is yours. So it's not about whether you feel like, God, this is too hard. This belongs to you. You're the owner of it. Your value, your security, your worth was paid for on the cross because you were so highly esteemed in the eyes of God. So then you make that choice to believe it or to not believe it. It doesn't make a difference what has endeavored to steal that from you. Until you decide to step up and take ownership of your value, you walk in that rejection. And then when you walk in that rejection, you walk in the defeat and the failure of rejection all your life. You see? So it comes back to, even no matter how you feel, no matter how beaten down you were, you choose to come up out of that. I think sometimes, you know, and I've always said that, if you've ever sat under me for long enough, you know that I always say, this is probably one of the biggest things I dealt with was a rejection. But someplace I had to choose to get delivered of it. You know, I mean, you need to get that spirit off of you, out of you. But even in that, you choose, this is who I am. So I will not allow nor tolerate. You know, you can cast the spirit of rejection out of yourself or find a good friend and say, cast this thing out of me. I don't want it. Tell rejection you don't want it. Because we can do that. Or you can come and sit here. When we do it, you can just say, get out in the name of Jesus. See, you working with us makes a huge amount of difference. But again, it's you choosing if he put that type of value on you. Jesus didn't come here for his own enjoyment. He came here because he loved us so very, very much. Because we were so valuable to him, he couldn't live without us. You see, that's the kind of value. So if that's the kind of value that I have, then I'm going to take it. And I'm going to take all that brings in there with it, okay? All right, let me read on here again some more under rejection. Rejection comes in two basic forms, okay, covert and overt. Covert can be characterized by someone saying they love and support you but never showing you it. Overt is more obvious in that it comprises of the verbal, physical, or social ostracizing, isolation, discrimination, or segregation, or whatever it is. But it's an outward rejection, where the covert is more like, even in the fact that maybe a parent loves you, but they don't ever show it. Okay? Because, you know, a lot of us were raised by parents that come out of old school who, back in the day, families were not taught to express love ever. I mean, it was for you to show, even for men to cry was looked down upon because we were not to have emotion. And my goodness, we needed emotion, didn't we? We needed love. We needed care. We needed the touching of someone's hands. You know, it's proven that literally babies will survive if someone is loving them and touching them, even though they always, you know, if they're like maybe premature, there's something wrong with them, that touch makes all the, you know, we deal with a disorder today called attachment disorders. An attachment disorder normally comes from, but not totally, a child that's been put up for adoption and maybe will sit in a place being in an orphanage or something for a while, and they're not given that love, and then somebody comes along and adopts them, but they have an attachment disorder, so they can't attach themselves to their adopted parents. And the parents wonder, well, I keep loving this little child, but they won't love me back. You see, that's an attachment disorder, all right? See, so again, that's why it's important for us to reach out to other people, because there's people in the body of Christ who have attachment disorders. I'm just kidding, but you know, when we sit, kind of like what he was talking about, you know, it is. And so even if they're, I don't know who didn't raise their hand, but, you know, seriously, we need to make an effort to attach to one another. Just like if that little child, and there are some things that need to be broken off, yes, but we can cast devils out, but someplace along the line, you choose to step into your freedom, you see? So when we respond, we break that down. So that's kind of what that's talking about with the different types of the covert or the overt. The covert says, I love, but there's never an expression of it. And so we can come even into the body of Christ and say, well, I love you, but we don't talk to one another. We don't fellowship with one another. We don't reach out to one another. We don't, you know, help one another. So it's like clouds with no rain, isn't it? Like it talks about in Ecclesiastes, I guess it is. Okay, so, all right, those are the two ways that we can have rejection. And then rejection from others often leads to rejection of self. So when that person doesn't receive it, so I'm describing possibly what you could be going through, but I'm not excusing you to stay in that place. I am, you know what, when the enemy is exposed, then, and we put our finger on him, see, that's then, hallelujah, you got his number to get him out, all right? So that's the reason for teaching, is so that we can put our finger, you can put your finger on it through the teaching of the word, so you recognize his tactics and schemes against you so you can get him out. Okay, so yes, these things have happened to many, many of us, but no, that's not an excuse for you to stay there. You have got to choose, I've had enough. And devil, you know what? We literally, and I'm not telling you that the devil is not sly. He is. He's intelligent, and then he's not intelligent. Okay? The reason be that, yeah, he knows some things, but anybody with a real intelligence is not going to reject Jesus Christ, not going to try to exalt their throne above God. You see what I'm saying? But even in that, we make that choice that no matter what's happened in our lives, you do not have to stay there. All right? You can start unloading. You know, once you get into deliverance and you begin to see these different things and start receiving some, it's like all of a sudden you can just start just cleaning out the closet, you know, just throwing out the garbage and going after it and literally start casting some of this stuff out on your own. When I found out rejection was a spirit, I was shocked. I thought it was just my personality quirk. I really did. But see, through teaching, God put his finger on that for me so I could see what the enemy had been up to in my life through various things that had happened as a child. But it's like God said, all right, now I'm showing you, Bev, now get it out. Because already on the cross, He took that rejection for me, didn't he? He took it. So if he took it, what am I doing with it? That is good. Yes, it is. Because same way with lack and poverty, sickness and disease, if Jesus took it on the cross, what are we doing with it? Shouldn't be here, should it? Let me keep on reading this because this gets good. Okay, so rejection from others leads to self-rejection, which produces feelings of worthlessness, inferiority, depression, emotional isolation, and causes us to be introspective, causes people to become perfectionists or operate in perfectionism, causes people to be irresponsible. Usually, if we see patterns of a lot of irresponsibility in a people, in a person, that's why. See, there's a root source. But you can shift those things and so that they can start being changed in your life so that can, you can lay hold of the remedy. Which again, what is the remedy? Jesus paid it all, didn't he? Okay. Yep. Okay. Guilt, self-hatred, people who have lived under constant rejection in their lives eventually have a difficult time expressing feelings, asserting themselves, or taking control of his or her life. Rejected people reject as a result of an acquired defense mechanism. So when we put our little guard up and we're going to reject one another, which, you know, that was really good what you said, Brian, because why do we keep so far away from each other? It's like becomes a defense mechanism. And sometimes we're a little bit fearful about getting too close to people, you know? Isaiah 53, let's go to that one. Isaiah 53, 1 through 5. And like I said earlier, I was talking about Jesus is the all-sufficient one, the one who took care of absolutely everything. Anything that pertains to mankind was taken on the cross by Jesus. So Isaiah 53, 1 says, who has believed, who has relied upon and clung to our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been disclosed? For the servant of God grew up before him like a tender plant and like a root out of dry ground. He has no form of comeliness that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. He was, now this is Jesus, was despised and rejected and forsaken by men, a man of sorrows. And in that, so if Jesus was rejected and despised of men, he was rejected and despised of men for us. Amen? Do y'all agree with me? All right, because he didn't have to come down here and be rejected and despised of men. He did it for us. So if Jesus was despised and rejected of men, it goes on to say then that he was a man of sorrows, pains. He was acquainted with grief and sickness. So because he took on what we have, because he chose to come here and be rejected, so we don't have to operate and walk in this spirit of rejection. Rejection is a spirit that the enemy uses to hold mankind down into this little arena of his control. But Jesus took it so you don't have to stay in there. In that place, because he did become our substitute, he understands the pains, the sorrows, and he was acquainted with that grief and sickness. But when he went to the cross and paid for it, let me tell you, when he came up and rose from the dead, he took it all off, didn't he? He didn't keep it. He paid for it and got it off of himself, all right? So Jesus isn't in that place today, but we aren't either, because where's our identity? It's with him. Your identity is not an alcoholic. Your identity is not ritual abuse. Your identity is not sexual abuse. It's not fear. It's not anxiety. Your identity is who he's made you, the righteousness of God in Christ. You are free. You're the ownership. It's you're the owner. You have rightful ownership to healing. You're the healed. You're the delivered. You're the set free. You see, we have to take ownership, don't we? How do you take ownership? Words of your mouth. You begin to decree. You begin to declare. You begin to say who you are. You begin to look at yourself. Choose, you know, sometimes that might be a really good thing for you to do. Choose to look at yourself as healed, as blessed. You know, and it might take you writing it down on a piece of paper and holding that paper in front of you, that a piece of paper that says, Bev Tucker, you're blessed. Bev Tucker, you're prosperous. Bev Tucker, you're healed. See what I'm saying? Remember, when our son was healed, we took the scripture and we looked at what the scripture said about him. That's what we said. We agreed with that. So if Jesus, if you're accepted in the beloved, then say that about yourself. Say that you are accepted, and it'll begin to unravel some of this junk that the enemy... See, when you take the word of God, it's a weapon. So when you begin to say what God says about you, it will unravel. It's like that knotted chain. It'll begin to be unraveled and be made into this fine, beautiful, golden chain again. See, but it's, the ball's in your park with that. I really believe that the Lord is wanting to move the body of Christ into such a place of coming to Him for everything that you will learn. And see, and in as you lay hold of your freedom, you will help others lay hold of theirs. The reason being for that, and as the body of Christ, we should all be very skilled in laying hold of freedom and healing. Because there's a world out there that needs us. They don't think they do, but they do. You see, but if we've never taken that sword and we've not allowed Jesus to begin to unravel. See, if you look to me as your person that has to help you get delivered, then in looking at that, you never learn how to deliver anybody. So you're like, okay, well, wait, we got to go get Bev Tucker to help you. No, I can help. You should be able to say, I can help you. I can do this. Because you have learned to go to Jesus and learn what He has, learn how to receive and take your ownership of what rightfully belongs to you. Okay? And I'm not saying that there's not a place for instruction and there's not a place for prayer, but there is a place where you get a hold of it and then you go out from this place and you start laying hold of what belongs to you. When we got into deliverance and we started learning how to cast stuff out, we would be driving down the road and something would come to us and we'd start casting it out of ourselves. We'd just say, no, you go in the name of Jesus. See, you can cast these things out of yourself. And every time you do, you are defeating the enemy. If you are overwhelmed and think, well, I got all this generational junk. Well, you might, but don't be overwhelmed by it. Get rid of it. Get it out. You have authority over it. You know? It's like someone said, well, a witch was sending a curse against them and they didn't know what they were going to do. Send it back. Send it back. You know, you're covered with the blood of Jesus. The devil's afraid of you, and so are witches. You know? Anyway, back to my scripture. Okay, so he was despised and rejected, forsaken by men. A man of sorrows and pains, acquainted with grief and sickness, like one from whom men hide their faces. He was despised. And we did not appreciate his worth or have any esteem for him. And sometimes we may feel like, you know, nobody appreciates us. You know, nobody puts value on our worth. Okay, again, that's why nobody esteemed him. Nobody put value on him because he was your substitute. So you could have that value and you could be esteemed. And you are. You are the best. You know what? You don't get any better than what y'all are. You can't get any better than being the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. They don't get any better than what we are. That's the value we have. I'm the best of the best of the best of the best. And so are you. He was made sin, he who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Can you get better than the righteousness of God? You see? See who you are. That's who you are. Okay, surely he has borne our grief, sicknesses, weaknesses, and distresses, carried our sorrows, pains of punishment, yet we ignorantly considered him stricken, smitten of God. And he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our guilt and iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed and we are made whole. So he was wounded for every one of our transgressions, and he was also wounded for the transgressions of others against us. So if you feel you've been transgressed against in life, it says he was wounded for our transgressions. And it doesn't say just the ones that I perform if I transgress, but it's also transgressions against me. So again, you're not excused, folks. No excuse. You do not have to stay in the mess you're in. You don't have to stay in a place of insecurity, worthlessness, rejection, and sickness and disease, because every bit of it was paid for. So it's time we get up and fight the good fight of faith and lay hold of what rightfully belongs to us. You are the rightful owner, just like claim of it. Just like I told you, Illinois sits, they have millions and millions and millions of dollars. You could get online, actually, I think we found out on Channel 13, I think that was the one, could have been 17, but I think it was 13, where they tell about that. And it talks about how Illinois, and any state, I'm sure all over the country, has this, where it has millions and millions of dollars just waiting for its rightful owner to come out and lay hold of it. And some people have literally thousands of dollars in it, you know? So we laid hold of what was rightfully ours. Would have been happy to have a few extra thousand, but it was 100 and whatever, you know? But irregardless, it was mine. Lay hold of what belongs to you. Healing is yours, all right? Okay, so let's go on. Rejection violates the very character and the heart of a person. And again, what I'm helping you to do is put your finger on how rejection has operated in your life. So it endeavors to violate your character. It quickly bruises the spirit of a person. Demonic spirits enter through wounds and then they feed on them, all right? And so as long as we nurse our wounds, we're going to continually give the devil something to feed on, all right? So that again is why, you know what, rats feed on garbage. But if you don't want rats feeding on your garbage, get rid of the garbage. Good. And then the rats have nothing to feed on and they'll eventually leave, won't they? You see? And what is some of that garbage? It's still us nursing the rejection and the pain and the grief and the sorrow that he took on the cross. You see, those things don't have a right to be in our lives any more than some of this other stuff that we call sin. I don't have the right to walk in rejection any more than I have the right. See, we gave up our rights to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. So if we would look at some of these things that we still hold, because it's called self-pity, and it's like, poor me, because I was abused, and I wasn't treated right. And that very well can be very, very true. You probably weren't treated right. But it's still not an excuse for us to hold it. And the reason I'm telling you that is I'm not trying to sound like I don't care, because I do care. But I'm wanting you to know that you can't keep holding this, because the rats will keep feeding on you and feeding on you and feeding on you. So we have to get rid of that. And how do you get rid of it? You just make that choice, no more, devil. I am not going to be your victim any longer. And then start unloading it. Start unloading it. Okay, there's certain types of evil spirits specifically related to rejection that enter through traumas, are being rejected from our parents or other generational spirits of rejection. And normally you will always find rejection as a generational spirit coming right up through the generations, because nobody's ever gotten rid of it. You see, so my father was rejected by his father, and then his father, and it just goes on and on and on until some place along the line we recognize it and its outworkings and get it out of the generations. We are in the generations that are cleaning house, by the way. Isn't that a good thing? All over the United States, people are desiring to start learning how to do this. This is why I'm saying, do some of this yourself, because the more you do it and you practice this, the more you're going to become knowledgeable and be able to help other people. Okay, Jesus has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Why? Because he went to the Father, didn't he? So Jesus isn't going individually to every single person. He rather sent all of his people out there, you see? So it's the same way with the ministry is here to equip the saints to go out and do the work of the ministry. You see, how do you get equipped? Start doing it. Start with this person right here. That's where you'll learn on yourself, all right? Rejection undermines, breaks, and prevents normal and harmonious relationships in families. So if you did not have a harmonious relationship in your family growing up, maybe husband and wife, you can know that this spirit and its underlying spirits, its outworkings, are in operation somewhere in the family line. And once you start taking some authority over these things, because in rejection, there's like a couple different sides. I believe it to a degree too. Schizophrenia comes out of rejection, the root of rejection, because the person is double-minded always, all right? And there's not that stability in that person. And one corner of it can be all of the anger, the division, the discord, disharmony, the aggressive behavior, swearing, cursing, all of this outward stuff. And then the other corner of it goes back. It's almost like that covert and introvert kind of thing. The other corner of it goes into more of self, where I have to perform to be liked, or I'm isolated and I separate myself, or I am a perfectionist, or I'm like always striving because my focus is always on me. On the other corner, it's this aggressive, angry behavior. So what it does then is in families, it affects our relationship with our families. Because if we're always angry and volatile and grumpy and complaining and swearing and cursing and moody and hard to live with, that's that one corner of it. Or if you're always isolating yourself, and especially in relationships and marriages where you won't communicate. We need communication. We have to choose to step out of our comfort places, deal with these things so we can have harmonious relationships with people that we're around. So sometimes we have to realize that kind of some of the dysfunction that's going on in the family can be rooted out of these spiritual forces that God has already given us authority over, that we can get them out and start learning then how to walk in some harmonious relationships. Okay, that goes back to a choice again. Because I can cast the devil out, but then I also need to change some behaviors that before I cast them out, developed in my life. See, we have patterns developed in our lives, behaviors and characteristics developed in our lives by the demonic forces. So then once they're cast out, then I'm free. Ta-da! But then I still have to deal with me. See? So instead of being an old grump, I might need to be nice and let a kind answer come out of my mouth. You see what I'm saying? Kindness. It's the soft answer that turns from wrath, isn't it? See, so we need to learn to start operating in a different realm because we've operated in the realm of these forces that have been in our lives for so long. But anyway, it will undermine and break and prevent normal, harmonious relationships in the family, between spouses, fellow workers. A serious consequence of rejection is that it can keep a sinner from coming to God or It will endeavor to keep a believer from receiving from God or from reaching their full potential in God. Again, that goes back into that insecurity, that worthlessness, or kind of like not having... See, if the devil can keep you down under his thumb as you're worthless and you don't ever rise up and make that decision of your great, great value, which you have, then really the devil can come and continue to steal from you. And he can steal your finances and everything, your soundness of health. If you feel that you're not worth enough to be healed, are you going to lay hold of what was already purchased on the cross? Or if you feel like you have no value, will you lay hold of all the wealth God has for you? You see? So as you begin to build on the structure, then there's been ungodly structures built, and we tear them down through the deliverance. But then you begin to build on a better structure, which is the kingdom of God. And then what you do from there is that you begin to step out by faith, and you say, no, 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 devil, get your hands off my money. Get your hands off my job. Get out of my finances in the name of Jesus. And start taking back. You know, when you feel like you come into church or wherever and nobody likes me, tell that voice to shut up and get out in the name of Jesus. See, you have to make those decisions to not, again, operate in those areas, or you won't ever reach your full potential in God and in life. See, Brian, when he shared about being able to purchase a car and paying cash for it, he's stepping out and reaching his potential in God. That's what we're talking about. We are equipped. Jesus said, let the poor say I'm rich. Must be he wants us rich. Right? Okay? We are. But we operate in that, and I want the manifestation of it in my life. Do you not all want the manifestation? You see? But until you get started, till you realize, okay, I can do this. It's my right. I am the owner of this richness. You know, you won't step out and take it because you judge yourself as incapable. See, that's how rejection operates. I am insufficient. He was my sufficiency. So am I insufficient or am I all sufficient in the all sufficient one? See, and I know Brian, I've known him for a number of years now, and I know that he has changed his perspective on these things. See, and as he has, he is stepping into his rightful place of ownership. Amen. Now we can see the manifestation and the evidence of it. You see, that's in every single area. He was rejected so that we could be fully accepted. To begin to get out there and run out and lay hold of all the potential we were created for from the very foundation of the earth to operate in. It says that the earth is waiting and groaning for the sons of God to be made manifest. Who are these sons of God? They are the ones who know who they are in Christ. They are the ones who know and are operating in their full potential. And that is why Jesus is waiting for us to make his... Do you know all the rejection and all the abuse, all the junk you've been through in your life is an enemy of God? And he is waiting for his enemies to be made a footstool. And he's waiting on you to say, I've had enough of this lack. I've had enough of this poverty. I've had enough of this brokenness. He's waiting on us to make these things his footstool. He didn't come here and defeat all these things that I read to you in Isaiah. All this garbage that comes out of rejection for us as the body of Christ when we have been fully accepted in the beloved to continue to operate in that. He has did not come and pay for all of this for us to be poor, weak, sick, and broken. He paid for it so we could start rising up to this full potential and answer what the earth is crying out for. The sons and daughters of God to be made manifest on this earth. And they will. Just like what he was talking about, there's more and more of us rising up, laying hold of, saying, I can do this. I can do it. It's mine. Okay. But when we operate in it, when we nurse these things, when we wallow in this, when we, you know, sometimes you can feel so defeated that you never get up. But I told you something a few weeks ago. Get in this word. You will find increase in this word. If you will get in this word is full of your value, your confidence. The word is full of confidence. So if you don't feel you have confidence, this word has all the confidence you need. You know, a lot of times I say, if you don't feel you don't have faith, the word of God has all the faith that you need. But it's got everything else you need too. See, so if you don't think you can, get in here and it'll tell you that you can. And when you eat, see, when you eat of the word, then, you know, if I don't ever take vitamins and eat good, my physical body sure feels it. Okay, well, my spirit man and who I am, the very core of my being and how I express myself, if I'm not eating of life, becomes dead, becomes weak, becomes insufficient. You know, and so when we begin to get in this word and see what God says about you and ourselves, then it's all of a sudden like, yeah, I can do this. I can pay cash for a car. I can be healed. I don't have to be broken. I can be whole because we begin to see this. I can beat this addiction. I can have relationships in my life. I can have what I've been so desiring. But it comes from your obedience to drop the seed of the Word of God into your heart and let it grow up and become a beautiful, beautiful tree of life. See, and that's what happens when we take and do that. And again, everything like when we're talking about this rejection, He took it for you so you don't have to have it. If you've been beaten and beaten and beaten and beaten all your life, think of what Jesus took on the cross that paid for that for you so you could rise up above it. Rejection has no closure. It's open-ended. We set ourselves up for the potential to be rejected and manifest then the outworkings of rejection. Rejection, whether it's active, passive, real, or imaginary, robs Jesus Christ of his rightful position in our lives. Okay? We are... Actually, what God will we serve? Will we serve the God of rejection? Because it is a demonic spirit. It's little g, but you know. Or is Jesus Christ going to be on the throne of our life instead? Rejection spirits work to draw rejection to you from other people, therefore layering more pain and causing the person to further harden their heart to endeavor to not be hurt again. A hardened and closed up heart is a serious thing because it not only keeps people out, but it will also keep God out and begins to isolate the person within themselves. So again, rejection then, if we don't come together even as the body because we are, you know, distrust is a very strong spirit also that's involved in rejection because we somehow along the way could not trust someone. And so we put everybody in that group, all right? And then we become very self-protective and we harden our heart. But again, the hardening of the heart keeps out people, but it also keeps out the Lord. And you don't need anybody more than you need Jesus. But a lot of times, breaking down those hard walls will come when you will, again, by force, you go in and start reaching out to others. Let the walls come down. You can speak to hard walls. You can start commanding these walls that I have built around my heart. I command you to come down in the name of Jesus. Sometimes we walk in that, and sometimes, you know, a person that has been wounded normally makes vows and oaths, and their vow is, I will never let anybody else ever hurt me again. I'll never let anybody else into that place. See, so by choice then, this stuff has come. Then we begin to operate in it and we begin to choose to operate because we're even speaking these things out rather than making that choice again. Like I said earlier, faith is nothing more than your decision and your choice. But so we choose to operate over in those realms. And because we've done that, we have probably built up some pretty good structures here of the hardness of our heart in these walls. And then we recognize them, then it's time to bring them down. I've prayed with people that literally when I when people come to me, I mean, when there's walls, I mean, you can feel those walls. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, sometimes people, you can just sense their walls. So when they come for prayer, there's times that we just literally, we speak to that wall, that hardness of heart, that hard wall, and command it to break, command it to start coming down in the name of Jesus. Sometimes, there's been a couple of times that I have literally said, I command the wall of concrete. It's like a concrete wall. It has become so hardened around that person. Okay? And they're locked up on the inside back in here. See, so that's almost like you have to take and just hammer at it, but it has to break in the name of Jesus. You see, because it's become a stronghold, but you don't, again, have to stay there. You can allow, and you, the reason you want to allow or command those walls to come down and come out of that is that you want to allow Jesus and all that he has to help you, because he will help you walk in that place of ownership. It's not like, okay, I'm going to make this decision and to get on this word and I'm going to do this word and da 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 da. Jesus is going to be right there to help you do all that. All right? It's the grace of God that will hook in with you to help you be the owner of what he's provided and purchased for you. Amen. See, was it purchased? If something's purchased, we're the owners, aren't we, of something? All right? And so if I purchase something for Evelyn and I give it to her, it's hers. Okay? She's the rightful owner. Well, Jesus purchased our freedom and he gave it to us, so we're the rightful owners, not the devil, not rejection. Whatever is binding you today, your freedom, you're the rightful owner of that freedom because Jesus purchased that on the cross, bought it, paid for it. Think on this. No greater value than the blood of Jesus. It was like gold, greater than gold. Gold can't compare to that. Yeah. So if we could think of the blood of Christ was of such high, high value that it could literally pay for the sin from all the way back to Adam to all the way to the very end of eternity. That's huge, isn't it? Every year they had to go in and re-offer animal sacrifices because that blood was never, had never, did not have enough value on it. It was not affected. But then there was one that came whose blood was so costly it could go all the way back into forever and all the way forward. See, that's what we have. That's what's purchased our ownership and given us the ownership of whatever it is that we need today. Our healing, our freedom, our deliverance. That isn't little, is it? Do either of you two have a word to go with that? All right. I'm going to quit because I'm just going to pray over you. Father, in the name of Jesus, I want you to say, in the name of Jesus, by choice of my will, Lord, I repent for every area of my life that I have walked in rejection, where I have walked in self-pity, where I have harbored unforgiveness, woundedness, pain, suffering, sickness, grief, and sorrow, worthlessness. God, I ask you to forgive me. Poverty. I repent for walking in poverty and lack. Because Jesus, you became poor so I could be rich. You became sick with every disease and every infirmity on that cross so I could be healed. You were broken that I might be made whole. So today, I choose to lay hold of what you've given me. I speak to every area of brokenness in my life. I come out of agreement with brokenness. Now, Lord, I lay hold of wholeness. I ask you, Jesus, to take every broken area of my life and reintegrate it. Bring it into wholeness. Make every crooked place straight. Break off every band. Break down every bar of iron. Cut asunder every cord. Sever every cord. In the name of Jesus. And reintegrate me. Remove every blockage. I speak to blockages. And I command them to go. In the name of Jesus. I command lack to go. I command poverty to go. I command sickness to go. I command hurt to go. I command woundedness to go. I command abuse to go. In the name of Jesus, I command you, go from my life. Rejection, anger, leave. In the name of Jesus, get out. Walls, come down. Leave me now. In the name of Jesus, I command hard-heartedness, pride, insecurity. Leave now. In the name of Jesus, go from me. I don't want you. I take authority over you. Get out in the name of Jesus. Now take a deep breath and release it. Every bit of it has to go. Every bit of it in the name of Jesus. All that confusion has to go in the name of Jesus. All the mental torment has to go in the name of Jesus. All the confusion of your identity, I command it to go right now in the name of Jesus. All that confusion about rightful owners, go in the name of Jesus. Say, I declare, I am the rightful owner of all that Jesus purchased on the cross in the name of Jesus. If I have any area in my life that's not in alignment with the Word of God, it was taken care of on the cross. So today, in the name of Jesus, I command every place of disalignment, dysfunction, disorder, go from me in the name of Jesus. If Jesus paid for it, it doesn't belong in my life, and I command it to go in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. And I even speak to sexual dysfunction in this room, and I command it to go in the name of Jesus. I command sexual dysfunction to leave this place right now. Leave every person in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I command spirits of fear, go in the name of Jesus. Expel all the fear. Come out. Leave in the name of Jesus. Come out. In the name of Jesus, I speak to jealousy. I command it to go. Insecurity, spirits of intimidation and timidity, expel all the hopelessness and depression. Go in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, expel. Just literally remove it from yourself. It don't have to stay there. Get out in the name of Jesus. Witchcraft, generational witchcraft, go. Divination, get out in the name of Jesus. I command and I break the power even of words that have been divined against you and spirits of witchcraft that have been sent against you. I break them. And I command the power of those words and anything that entered into your life through those words, we command them now, go in the name of Jesus. Go, expel in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. All the brokenness has to leave. In the name of Jesus. Say, I repent for any place that I have judged myself of no value. Lord, I ask you to forgive me. Because, Jesus, you put such value on me that you poured out your blood for me. I declare today, my value is incomprehensible. My value is so great that the blood of Jesus was poured out from the very foundation of the earth, and it extended into all eternity. It overpaid. Jesus' blood did not underpay my redemption. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. There's no reason for us to not receive whatever it is that we need. Whatever, every bit of it was on the cross. If it was on the cross, it's ours. Lord, give us revelation. Boy, do we need to get it, guys. Because literally, this earth is waiting on us. I tell you what, you listen to the news, it's really crying out for us. The sons and the daughters of God, that we may be made manifest. It is time. We've got to shake off all this junk that the devil has endeavored to strap us down with and begin to run with patience that race that's set before us, because we are the answer to this earth. It doesn't get any better than us. We're the best. We're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And in that righteousness, it's healing, deliverance. Next time you feel bound, say, I'm free. I am free in the name of Jesus. Next time you feel broken, I'm whole in the name of Jesus. Next time you look and feel overwhelmed by debt, say, oh no, I'm rich. He's my provider. I come behind in nothing good. All my needs are met according to his riches and glory. Next time you feel sick, by his stripes, I am healed. I am healed. There's no witch, no wizard, no warlock, no devil in hell that can stand to that name, because every single one was brought to zero on the cross. Totally defeated. They know who we are. Do we know who we are? But that's who we are. Jesus, righteousness of God. Amen. I guess I'm done. You're all blessed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Good word today. I'm just going to let you go. And you know what? When the world needs an answer, don't tell them, wait a minute till I go get Bev Tucker and I can get you free. Just say, I can do it. And you can do it if you go home and start doing it. Get, you know what? My little nephew one time, we were coming from North Dakota, and remember, some of you remember that old commercial, don't get mad, get glad? Yeah. And my sister got mad over something, and my little nephew's in the backseat. Don't get mad, get glad, get glad. But you know what? We want to get mad at the devil and his works in our lives, right? And then you get glad by getting him out, all right? So get fed up. Get tired of this garbage and start casting it out of your lives. Amen. Start saying and being in agreement. And Evelyn, what was that scripture you shared the other night? Was that Colossians 1:6 or Philippians? Philemon. Let me read that to you. Oh, that was good. I wrote that down, and then I went home and I meditated on it because it was so excellent. Philemon. I got to find it. Gracious. Hold on. I shall have it in a second. It's just that one little tiny. Where does it come, just before or right after? I don't know. Right after Hebrews? Before Hebrews. I was going to say James is after that. All right, let me read it to you. Yeah, there it is. It says, and I pray that the the participation and the sharing of your faith may produce and promote full recognition and appreciation and understanding and precise knowledge of every good thing that's in you. What was the translation you read?
I read King James.
What do you have with you now? Let the communication of your mouth become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing. Let the, in Christ Jesus, so let the communication of your mouth cause your faith to be effectual by your making declaration of every good thing that is in you in Christ Jesus. So what that's saying is that if you will declare what the Word of God says about you, then it will become effectual. It will become manifest in your life. You see? So that is why it is so important that we do say what he says. Start speaking of your value and your worth, because you have great value to God. You are not the rejected. You're the accepted. And when you begin to accept that, you will be amazed at the healing it will begin to produce in your life. Literally, sickness will go. Lack and poverty will go. But see, when you begin to make, because once you start saying these things, you'll begin to believe them. And once you begin to believe them, you'll begin to act on them. So if we're not acting on this, we're not saying it enough. We're not. We need to be speaking the Word of God. Amen? We need to be affirming what he says. Amen? Oh, you did. There you go. That the communication of thy faith may become effectual, manifest, in operation by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Ah, I'd write that down. I wrote it down the other night. In fact, I copied that translation and I took it home. It's on my counter, so I have it, because I want to be reminded to do that, you see. I mean, I might preach you a good sermon, but I still got to go home and do this too, you see. It only works in my life as I do it, same as yours, you know. Every time I face an obstacle, I can either whine, wallow in it, or get up and do that. Either I can say, uh-uh, devil, get out. When I find myself operating in some of those old things, I can do two things, three things. I can tell it to go. I can refuse to operate that way, because I don't want to be in any old negative habits. And then I need to say, I need to do what that scripture says. Because the scripture will change your habits and your belief systems and your patterns that you do, okay? Go and be blessed and go and be prospered. Go and walk in that victory and be who Jesus called you to be. Amen? Amen.